So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So welcome to the Business Growth Show. We're here. It's a Monday. It's the 24th of January, 2022. We're coming up to the end, almost the end, 3 weeks in to 2022. And hopefully your year is going just as well as you hope it is. However, that might not be the case. Certainly, we've had a rocky start to the year. We've had all sorts of stuff coming at us from all sorts of different angles. Some of it is just crazy. Some of the stuff, some of the property stuff that we've had coming through, additional costs, random stuff that's just happened, and then just the basic stuff as well. But also in business, business is slower this year. I must admit, we're getting a lot of strategy sessions coming in. But it's just something seems off this year, and people are a lot more cautious this year. And it's really interesting because it's like, look, you need to get your marketing sorted. And people are like, we're just going to wait. I'm like, what the hell are you waiting for? Sign up, get yourself sorted out. Let's get 2022 happening. But I was reading an article yesterday. It was talking about how one in three businesses are actually going to struggle in 2022. And I was thinking about that. And I was like, and they didn't actually say struggle. They said close. And I'm like, not sure about they're going to close. That seems a little bit too much, I thought. But let's go with struggle. Because I was like, okay, one in three businesses is probably going to struggle. One in three businesses have been struggling for the last 10 years, let alone just because of a pandemic. But of course, I mean, I was reading about Peloton yesterday. Peloton is potentially on the brink of bankruptcy. They've got all these bikes and treadmills that they now can't sell. They actually increased productivity of all of their stuff. They opened a new place in Taiwan, I think it was. Certainly over in the Asiatics for creation of their products. But even Peloton have been struggling. But think about it. You know, we've been in lockdown. We're in year three of a pandemic. In the middle of that, there was a lockdown. Everybody was at home. Nobody could do anything. I was trying to buy weights equipment. I couldn't buy it from anywhere. Secondhand prices of equipment had gone absolutely astronomical. And so Peloton obviously moved as fast as they could. They put new manufacturing in place. And then now it's in place, demand has absolutely teared off. And so they've got all these bikes and treadmills that they're now struggling to get rid of. And it's like a company like Peloton has gone from nowhere. You know, it's 11 years old, I think, 2011, if memory serves. And it's gone from nowhere to massive. And now it's dropped, like its share price has dropped to a third of what it used to be. And it's crazy. And here, I mean, obviously, right now, everything's dipped. Crypto's dipped, the FTSE 100 has dipped, the S&P 500, that's it. I mean, everything's dipped. It's just par of the course. We're in these shaky times. But that then directly translates to other people's businesses, such as yours. So the question, as always, is, what are you going to do in 2022 that's different than 2021, that's different than 2020, that's going to start getting you some different results? And so this podcast is specifically about what to do in your business in 2022, so that if you are struggling right now, this can actually have a big effect on the struggles that you're having. And if you're not struggling, but you're wanting to grow your business, this is also what will help you grow the business. It's two sides of the same coin. This is always about business growth. And what we're going to talk about now should be in all businesses. Peloton could watch this. I'm sure they're not. Peloton could watch this and go, oh shit, maybe we do need that. Yeah. Like increased visibility, which we're going to talk about. In fact, let's talk about that now. Let me just move that over. So let's talk about increasing visibility. We've just been talking about Peloton. And I was thinking about Peloton's marketing. What are the things that they could do? I mean, Peloton's crazy. They've got a store in Leeds in a really expensive location. We like three staff in it. And I'm like, there's nobody ever in it. I mean, I've been in it. I went to have a look. But there's nobody ever in it. And I'm like, well, we've got one in Leeds. How many other stores have we got? That's crazy. They need to increase their visibility, but do it in a way that's not putting absolute massive costs on that bottom line. I mean, for that store in Leeds, you're talking $5,000 a month minimum, including staff and location. $5,000 a month. Now, imagine you've got 100 locations. That's £500,000 a year, a month. That's what? Is that $60 million a year? That's crazy. Just on stores and people. You could turn that around into Facebook ads, or even better, And I think this is where we're at in 2022. You could get other people, like if you go on Instagram and look at the fitness people on Instagram, there's millions of them. Give out your bikes. You've got all this stock just standing there, not doing anything. Give them a bike and tell them, look, you go live 4 times a week and you show people working out about how good it is and about how it makes you feel. And you keep doing that. And as long as you keep doing that, you get to keep the bike. And if you stop doing that, we'll take the bike back and we'll pass it to the next influencer. Like, do 1,000 of those. And now suddenly you've got Instagram and Facebook absolutely awash with Peloton products. Like, it's not even rocket science. But when we talk about increasing visibility, this is really something that we should all be doing. And the question is, how can you do that in such a way that it doesn't cost you anything? Or it costs you absolute minimum. Like going live like this. In fact, I was just checking, talk about going live. I was just checking our stats on the podcast. Because what happens is we go live. And then once we've gone live, the video, the MP3, the audio gets pulled out of the video and we move that over to Apple iTunes and it goes out and we do very well. I'm just going to pull up my stats. Obviously, you can't see them. We keep them private. But this morning already, let me just go to all of them. This morning, it's absolutely shot up and God knows why. But the last time we had as many views as we had today was all the way back in December. And the time before that was back in October. So the fact that we go out live almost every day and then we convert that over to an iTunes podcast means that more people are listening to us because we're more consistent. And so this then comes into the question of what can you do? Is there some kind of live that you can go? I mean, obviously, you know, we've got a nice setup. We've got a header. We've got an agenda. We've got a little arrow that points up and down. We've got some nice lights behind me and a microphone and a camera. But you know what? I'm just literally in my lounge right now. This is my office desk. I've got 2 big screens. I've got some lights here. But we're just in the office. And I just go live. And it's a nice, relaxing life for me. I used to get really stressed about going live at 12 every day. And if I was out, I had to get back to go live. And now I just wake up, I have my shower, I have my coffee, and I go live, and I talk bollocks for 30 minutes. And people get a lot out of it. And it's helpful, and it's useful, and it increases visibility, and it increases trust, and credibility, and authenticity, and you know, people get to know who you are. They get to understand who you are. And then if they want more, they simply jump on a phone call. We have a strategy session. Maybe we'll help them with marketing. Maybe not. We have a nice conversation. It's not a salesy kind of thing whatsoever. It's just a really nice way of doing business. And so that all happens because we go live so much. And the difference between not going live and going live every single day is substantial. I mean, it's huge. And the beauty of this is that the actual effects of that haven't actually hit yet. Even though our number of sales calls per day has increased, the actual effects of us going live every day is like 2 weeks down the line, 3-4 weeks down the line, month, 2 months down the line. Because as people look back at all the stuff that you've put out there, they can see that you're consistent. And that's what people are after right now. People want authenticity. They want honesty. They want consistency. Show me a business that's got all three of those things and I'll show you a successful business. Most businesses haven't got any of those. How on earth do your customers know about you? I mean, people say, well, I go networking. Okay. So 45 minutes to the networking, risking life and limb if you're not wearing a mask. No air conditioning, no windows open. It's not for me, thank you. So, you know, 45 minutes there, you spend a couple of hours networking, 45 minutes back. How many people have you spoken to? Oh, 24. Well, that's pretty good. Pretty good. 24. I spoke to more people this morning than that, just because they downloaded the podcast. Like, substantially more people I've spoken to this morning simply because they downloaded my podcast. And not only that, you know, you go networking, you have to ask them about their business. They ask you about yours. Have you got any kids? Where do you live? Where do you work? All this stuff. Whereas when someone downloads your podcast or watches your live, suddenly it's just one way information. They're listening to me. That's how I like it. That's how you want it. So move yourself into a position where you can actually get over all of your values and your points of view and the way that you can help people and help people and give advice and be a beacon of light in a time when, you know, boy, do we need beacons of light right now? It's one of the things that's really annoying me. All we get in the news is really bad stuff. How about some good stuff for a change? Well, you could be the good stuff. And you don't have to be on the news. You go on Twitter and you go on Facebook and you go on LinkedIn. We're live on everything except YouTube for some reason didn't work this morning. No idea why. So we'll download this and we'll just upload it. There you go, it's done. All right, we're not live, but does it really matter as long as the content's up? Not really. But you've got to find a way of increasing your visibility and doing it in such a way that it's not going to cost you a huge amount of money. It depends on what your business is. Sometimes it's leaflet drops. Sometimes it's going live like this. Sometimes it's a lot of content marketing. We have a lot of clients that we do content marketing for. And they do tremendous. I mean, we look at their analytics on Google and we can see just how much more website visitors they're getting simply because of the content. And then we look at where's the traffic come from. Is it Google? Is it Google keyword optimization, or is it Facebook, or is it LinkedIn? What percentage comes from social media marketing, and what percentage of that is Facebook? What percentage of that is LinkedIn? And then that enables us to adapt for our clients accordingly. So you've got to find a way of increasing visibility, because if you don't, you're going to really struggle in 2022, and you're going to be one of these businesses up here. Where is it? Up here. You're going to be one of these one in three businesses that are going to struggle in this year. And we don't want that. We want everyone to be as successful as possible. So you're going to have to find a way of doing it. And, you know, we're great. We love people going live. We love it. It is the secret sauce. And we talk about it almost every podcast. You've got to have raise your game and have content going out on digital. I mean, you think about this. You think about the Super Bowl adverts that cost like, what? I don't know how much they are. $500 million to go out for a 30-second advert on the Super Bowl? And I think it was Coca-Cola, who's run by Gary Vee, by the way, right now. And I think Coca-Cola cancelled theirs. And they just moved it all onto social media, Facebook advertising and so on. And so this is where you should be. Like, where are your customers? Are they on LinkedIn? Are they on Twitter? Are they on Facebook? Are they on Instagram? Well, they're on all of those. So why are you not there? You know, you've got to go to where your customers are. There's the saying. I can't remember which book it came from. It might be The Empty Raincoat, which is a really good book, by the way. Or it could be 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. And one of those, if you've not read those books, read those books. But one of them is fish where the fish are. Where are the fish? They might be at networking events. They might not be at networking events. They might not be online. But of course they're online. Everybody's online. Like, unless your target audience are in the 90s and they're not on Facebook. But then they're not at networking events either. The leaflet drops and newspaper ads and more traditional forms of marketing. The radio, or the wireless, as my gran would call it. You've got to fish where the fish are. So increasing visibility means you've got to put content out where those people are. And what type of content? Well, content that will help people. We get emails every single week coming in saying, love your podcast, love your show, thank you very much. Can you talk about this, whatever, right? We give out help and advice. And we want to be that shining beacon of light, constantly flashing, constantly there, constantly available, so that if people are struggling, we can just drop a message and go, Dan, I'm struggling on this. Can you help? Of course we can help. You need to do this, and this. They might not like the response, by the way. It's like, what the hell are you doing that for? That's crazy. No one's watching that. Do this, and this. And so we're here to help. And that's where you should be. Because if you can help people and you increase your visibility, at the right time, people will then come and ask you for help. And then you can help them. And then they pay you for it. And that's how it works. And that's how it should work. So you need to increase your visibility. Next one then is you need to cash flow forecast. If you've not got a cash flow forecast in your business, I cannot see how that business will grow properly over the next 12 months to 24 months. This is a major, it's not like do it if you feel like it. It's like, that's crazy. It's like breathing if you feel like it. You need to breathe. You need a cash flow forecast. How do you know how much money to spend? Like if you're running short, and you're 38 quid short this month and you need to put petrol in your car, well, you could just not put petrol in your car. You can find another way of using transport and getting to a location, you know, walk or bicycle or whatever, right? But you don't know that until you get to a point at the end of the month where you're £38 short and you go, oh no, I'm £38 short. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live in 6 months' time and get to 6 months and go, oh, I did it all wrong because I thought I knew what I was doing. It was all in my head and now I don't know what I'm doing. And I can't buy that thing that I wanted to buy. I can't invest in that thing that I wanted to buy. I can't pay off that mortgage that I wanted to pay off. It's up to you to create the cash flow forecast, which will determine what you can or can't afford 6 months from now. I would rather you know that today so that you can adapt what you're doing and taking different actions today so that when you then get to 6 months' time, you've already adapted and you can then afford the thing that you want to afford. And so your cash flow forecast should include a list of all of your costs. I mean, let's have a look at some of our business costs and we'll share some of these for you. We're not going to share the numbers, but we'll share you with you some of the things that we have. So obviously, we've got all our staff. All our staff are on there. We've also got tax. We've got an element of tax that we pay every single month, and we allocate it over to one side so that at the end of the year when we have a big tax bill, we're not then scrambling around trying to find the tax money. It's allocated. It's all moved to one side. And so we've got that. So we got things like, so we use Teamwork, teamwork.com, which is amazing, by the way. It's task allocation for all our team members. Google Apps, we've got a mobile phone, we've got Adobe, because we use that. We use Restream, which is what we're using right now to stream this. We've got our hosting. I mean, our hosting is 70, I mean, I'll give you some numbers. Our hosting is £72 a month for our website. That's a lot of money for a website. But then we host other people's websites too. Active Campaign, we've got Thinkific, which is holds all our membership programs, Sendable, which is what we use for sending out content, our mobile, we even got a Canva, because sometimes we use Canva for certain things, and so on. And that's pretty much all of it. Yeah, pretty much all of it. But every item there has a line item. The tax has a line item. So, for example, I can tell you in April, and our tax increases in April because our profits are expected to increase in that period of time as well. So our tax should increase accordingly. I know that at that point, we're likely to be doing more business, and so we adapt our tax. So we don't just grow more business and then spend the money and then get to the end of the year and think, oh, no, tax, and then have to scramble around for more tax. That's not how you should be running a business. You should be running a business where you know, let me just go back to that, where you know what all your costs are. And then guess what? That's all our expenses. Then, so we've got staff and then we've got all our other expenses and then we've got income. What's the income going to look like in June? And so sometimes it can be quite hard, depending on your business, understanding what that income is likely to be. Notice we say likely because it's not a given. But we have, 4-month contracts and then we move to 6-month contracts. So if someone comes to the end of a 4-month contract and they decide to stay with us for another 6 months, awesome. Now we've cash flow forecasted all the way into, what month did I say? June, 6 months from now. And pretty much we have an idea about what our income's going to be at that point, which enables me to go, okay, in June, let's buy this thing. Let's buy that thing. Let's move that money and invest it here. Let's get an extra person to do more website design. What else can we afford if we hit all our targets? And this gives you an opportunity to create some what-if scenarios. And it's the what-if scenarios which will help you grow your business. But you can't grow a what-if scenario unless you can forecast it 6 months from now or 12 months from now. So you can't go, okay, if we doubled our sales between now and June, what else can we afford in terms of resourcing? Who else can we afford in terms of staffing? What else do we need to be running? Do we need to be running ongoing Facebook ads? And if so, what's the budget for that? Is it £100? Is it £1,000 a month? What's the budget? And this is the thing that's really going to help you adapt your business to surviving in 2022 so that you can't, it's not just about surviving, it's about thriving. It's about business growth. I mean, you might even choose, you know what? We're going to double our revenues, but we're not going to take on twice as many staff. We're going to take on 30% as many staff and grow that profit as much as we can. So then as we're going to 2023, we've got all this, you know, money saved up. Let's say it's 100 grand saved up, or even 30 grand or even 10 grand. It doesn't matter how much it is. And then we're going to go out and we're going to look for businesses to acquire. And that might be a faster way for us to grow. But you can't even contemplate doing any of that unless you know how much money you're saving each month, what your sales are going to look like in, you know, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, what your expenses are going to look like then, what's your tax bill likely to be. One of the things we actually get is monthly management accounts, because the monthly management accounts actually works out the tax as we keep going on. So we're not saving too much tax, but we're not saving too little tax. You know, I'll give you some examples then. So let's say that you allocate £500 a month every month towards your tax. You might even pay it over to HMRC in advance. You can do that, by the way. And HMRC obviously like that. But it turns out that you didn't need to pay that much. You only have to pay £250. If you do management accounts every single month, that will tell you, are you on track more or less for your tax? There's no point in paying too much tax. You could spend that $250 that you're overpaying in tax on Facebook ads and increase your revenues. But all of this is really important to work out, and you do it via your cash flow forecast. That's why we have cash flow forecast for everything. And you should have two. You should have these in your personal life. You should have these for your business. You should have these for your property business as well. Okay, so let's talk about improving your sales mechanism. What is a sales mechanism? Let's just cover that off first of all. So a sales mechanism is basically a method of getting somebody who's not yet a customer to then being a customer. And there's all sorts of different types of sales mechanisms. In retail, you have a customer who's not a customer. They walk into a shop, they see a shirt that they like, they go to the till and they buy it. That's the sales mechanism. In my business, I get people onto what we call a strategy call, and we talk about their business, where do they want to be, and what bits are missing that they need to plug in to get them to where they want to get to. Okay, and invariably one of those is usually marketing, because everybody needs more marketing. You know, if you ask a business, what's the biggest problem right now? Clients. It's what people say. So you should have a sales mechanism. So people come on a strategy call. They're not a business. We work out what their problem is. So we diagnose what they need effectively. We work out what are the best bits that we can give to them to help them get the results that they want. And then we offer them a price. They either like the price or think it's too expensive. They sign up. They don't sign up. They've got 18 other people that they want to speak to. That's fine. Or in 6 months' time, they're going to do it. Or next week, they're going to do it. That's all fine. Then they go, yeah, let's do it. And so we sign them up. That's a sales mechanism. What's your sales mechanism? It could be that you're dropping leaflets to people because you want to buy their houses for cash. That sales mechanism, it could be you generate a phone call. Okay, let me come round. Then you go to their house. And then during that house visit, what is the process? So a sales mechanism is a process. Now, if you've not got this process written down, if it's really ad hoc, if I was to ask you, what's your sales process? And you go, I don't know. I pick up the phone. I say some stuff. They answer some questions. And it's like, this should be written down. And the reason it should be written down is because you want to pass it on to the next person. You don't want to be having to do all these sales calls yourself. Now, I actually do all our sales calls because I actually really enjoy sales calls, weirdly. I love getting on the call and I love finding out about people's businesses and about motivations, about people as well. I love that. What's going on here? Why have you done that? What's the benefit of that? Where do you want to be in 3 years' time? What are you missing that's going to help you get there? If you did get there, what would you do then? And so on, right? I love getting into those conversations because I like investigating what's got someone to hear and what's missing to get them onto the next stage. And invariably, it's content marketing in some form. It can be Facebook ads, it can be Google ads, it can be just pure content, it can be editing lives and going on iTunes podcasts and that kind of thing. But what is that sales mechanism? And if you've not got a sales mechanism that's actually written down, a process that's written down, like there's one called Bridge the Gap, which is a sales process. I'll give you it as an example. So bridging the gap is, so where are you right now? You're here. Okay. Where do you want to be? You want to be here. Okay. So if you got there, how would that make you feel? Okay, that'd make you feel good. Okay, what would you say to yourself? Okay, you think you're really good. What would your partner say to yourself? Say to you? Oh, they'd say that. Okay, how would that make you feel? Really good. Excellent. Okay, so imagine that you're 12 months from now and you've got that and that's in place. Okay, that feels pretty good, right? Yeah. Okay, now imagine 12 months from now and you've not done that. Imagine that you're in exactly the same place in 12 months' time as you are today. Now, how do you feel? And they're like, oh my God, I feel such a schmuck. I feel a failure. Oh, I've wasted 12 months. Okay, so now it's a simple decision. Do you want to move forward or do you want to stay where you are? And invariably we go, I want to move forward. That's right there is one example of a sales process. That's called bridging the gap. And if you get onto, I actually avoid strategy calls. We tend not to use that in our strategy calls because I think it's a little bit too much, really. And also, we want people to sign up because they want to sign up, not because they feel that they may feel like a schmuck in 12 months' time. But that's one example. There's another 100 different styles of closing business that you could improve on. And if you've never done sales training, I've done a lot of sales training. I've given sales training. We had a training course, which we used to do called NLP for Sales, which was a live training course for small groups of people. We used to charge like $3,000 to go out and provide that over a 2-day period. And we used NLP and hypnosis, and it was really cool. Got loads of great results from it as well. But that is an example of a sales process that we've used in our business. And so if you've not read any books on sales, if you've not attended any training course on sales, then you absolutely need to do it. Now, interestingly, from my point of view, we tend not to use those kind of things in our strategy sessions because most people are actually pre-sold. Oh, thank you, Jay. Most people are pre-sold. By the time they get onto a strategy call, they are literally pre-sold. They already know that they want to work for us, work with us, I should say. They just don't know how much it's going to cost. And we've literally had people come on saying, no, I'm happy to sign up. Oh, I forgot to ask, how much is it? And they literally forgot how to actually ask. They literally forgot to ask how much it actually was because they just knew they wanted to sign up for it. That is actually part of our sales mechanism. It's a pre-sales. One of the reasons why we go live in such a way like this and we have the podcast and we put out all the content is that by the time we get on a strategy call, it's actually just a nice 45-minute conversation. We give them an offer and then they sign up. Because the sales mechanism is before they actually get on the sales call, if that makes sense. So that's our sales mechanism. And you should have something very similar. The pre-sales is where it's all about for us. Okay. Last one then, if you're one of these 1 in 3 businesses that may struggle this year, this is what you can do. Increase the hours worked. And I put on here, it's not what you think. And it's absolutely not what you think. Because it's not increasing the hours you work. It's increasing the hours of your resources working. So like we've got people who work for me, full-time employees. Now, we might get another part-time employee and give them 20 hours a week. That's an extra 80 hours a month. And so when someone says to me, Dan, how many hours do you work? We've got 9 full-time staff right now, including me. So call it 8. So once, and I can't do the maths here, so let me grab the calculator. So when someone says, how many hours do you work? I don't know what hours people work offhand, like 37 and a half, I'm guessing. So 37 and a half times, what we got, 8 staff. I work 300 hours, plus mine, I suppose. I don't really work a lot of hours. But our team work about 300 hours every month. Times that by 4. I don't have to use a calculator for that, but I did. 1,200 hours a month. How many hours are you working every month? Oh, 160. Okay, I'm working almost 10 times as many hours on my team. And this is not about you increasing the number of hours. It's about you reducing the number of hours. I've seen Molly May recently get absolutely kicked on social media because she said, we all have the same 24 hours a day. And really what she should have said was we all have a 24-hour day because not everybody has the same 24 hours a day. Some of us have more. Some of us have 300 hours a week. What is that? What is it? 7 hours times 8. Some of us have 56 hours a day, not including mine. And so she kind of got kicked on social media because she kind of said the wrong thing. But some people have much less than 24 hours a day available to them. If you're a primary carer, if you're working 2 jobs, you've got such little amount of time to spend on your side hustle, but you can still pull an hour out. And I know this because I've done it. Not everyone is a full-time carer. And I kind of felt sorry for Molly May getting kicked on social media there because I understood what she meant. But she just got kicked for the way that she said it. Now, I actually read that line, by the way, and don't judge me. I read that line in Donald Trump's Art of the Deal like 20 years ago. And when I read that line, when he said, we all have the same 24 hours, I read that line and I was like, shit, yeah, I need to get more people on board. That was 20 years ago when I was reading that. And I had my lettings agency back then. And so, you know, depending on how you perceive wealth and success and business, some people are going to get really upset by that. And then other people are going to be like, yeah, that's brilliant, 24 hours in a day. How's Lord Sugar using his 24 hours? Let me replicate that because he seems to be successful. How's Dwayne The Rock Johnson utilizing his 24 hours a day? And has he got personal assistants, do you think? Yeah. Do you think he's got personal everything? His personal chef? Personal? Do you think somebody else probably chooses what he was going to wear that day? Maybe. So like everyone has 24 hours, but we all utilize them differently. And if you're wasting time doing keyword optimization or doing your own ironing and washing of your clothes, really basic stuff, like, you know, we live in Spain. And when I used to fly to England every 2 weeks for a weekend to see the kids, honestly, I did that for 4 years. God knows when I look back how I even had energy to do that. But I had a cleaner in the UK and we still have a cleaner here. because I found myself spending all my time doing cleaning and ironing when I was supposed to be seeing the kids. So we got a cleaner, and then I just got to spend more time with the kids. It was awesome. And here we've got a cleaner and an ironer. It's the same person. She comes, she does the cleaning, then she does the ironing. She comes once a week, like 4 hours a week. Best money you'll ever spend. Because I can, while she's doing that, I'm sat here and I'm working. Usually she comes on like a Friday or whatever. So I'm working. Now, would I rather spend the time doing work here with an ability to generate more cash? Or should I be spending 10 euros an hour doing the ironing and cleaning? It doesn't make sense. Of course, I need to outsource it. So now she's doing that and I'm doing this. How much more efficient is that? Getting other people to do the work. My voice has gone really high pitch. getting other people to do the work. Someone's put, I love my cleaner. I love our cleaner as well. She's so awesome, by the way. And during the pandemic, I'll tell you a story. So during the pandemic, obviously, you know, you couldn't go to other people's houses. Everything was strict lockdown. We didn't leave this place for like 13 weeks. We were just stuck in the villa. It's a nice place. We've got a swimming pool, for God's sake. It's a nice place to get stuck. But, the cleaner couldn't come round. And it was 6 weeks, actually, that she couldn't come round for. And we actually saved the money. And when eventually she came through, and she came in, and we're so grateful to see her again. We had to do our own ironing, which obviously I didn't do. I'd rather wear creased clothes than actually iron and stuff. Like, what you're ironing for? Where are you going? You're not seeing anyone. Nobody cares. So anyway, she comes back, and then we give her the 500 or 600 euros because we saved it up for her. We knew that she would struggle, and we had no other way of giving her the actual cash. And she came, and she's in tears. I'm in tears. And that 600 euros was life-changing for her because she was saying it pays my bills because she had no income. And so, my gardener retired, though. It's a nightmare, isn't it? We don't have a gardener. It's one thing, actually, we do need. But finding one here is quite hard. But it's like, you shouldn't be doing this stuff. You should be doing this stuff for other people. Like, let me rephrase that. Other people should be doing this stuff for you. You should be focusing on the stuff that's really going to up your level. Like, you know, for me, it's about being the visible face of the business. And the more visibility I have, goodness me, the business is called the Daniel Latto Group. That's me. Like, I should be the guy that's visible for that, right? But I shouldn't be the guy creating websites and doing content and scheduling and image creation and video editing. But I used to do that. And as we grew the business, the number of hours that we were able to allocate to the business increased. And really, that's what this is referring to. Increasing the number of hours worked, but not by you, but through your team. And if you've not got a team, then that's definitely something that you should be implementing as soon as you can. But you don't have to go from zero to full time and then struggle to afford it. Just go part time. Go simple. Get 3 hours a day. Like, if you've got someone in between 9 and 12 every day, that's 15 hours times £10 an hour, let's say, that's 150 quid times 4 weeks, that's £600 a month. But those 3 hours for them to do things like paperwork and keyword optimization or whatever it happens to be, that could really free up your time to then go out and visit more people, to go door knocking, to go live, to go to networking events, to follow up all of your previous people that you've actually spoken to. Because now you've got somebody that's actually doing most of the work. And that's really where you should be. Anyway, look, I hope you found that useful. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. I do like it when we get feedback and people actually type and things. It makes life much more interesting. Thank you for that. So we'll catch up with you with the next one. My name is Dan Latto. Have yourselves a wicked day. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.